provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable.
Sheila Jackson Lee, ladies and gentlemen, the gift that keeps on giving. This is a Texas Democrat congresswoman. She's been in Congress for something like 30 years or something. I mean, this is not a new politician. This is not just some Yahoo. This is an actual honest to God elected official, you guys. Absolutely unbelievable. Thinks the moon is made of gases and that it is almost impossible, not impossible, but almost impossible for man to go to the sun because it's a mighty powerful heat, in case you didn't know. The moon is much more manageable, even though it's a poof ball floating around up there. But you know, whenever there's a big circle in the sky, you should go out and have a gander at it. Oh my gosh. You can't make this stuff up. This is just unbelievable. This gives Hank Johnson's, you know, you remember Hank Johnson, congressman that said that Guam was going to tip over if we put too many soldiers on it, that the whole island would just capsize. And you had, I think it was an army general, if I recall correctly, sitting there at this congressional hearing. How in the world that man managed to keep a straight face, I will never ever know. Why Sheila Jackson Lee was not laughed off the podium. But then again, that's what happens when you have an ignorant populace electing ignorant politicians who say stupid things, and then we all just move on like it's not terrifying that these are the people that are making the laws that affect all of our lives and spending all of the tax money that they have stolen from us. But that, believe it or not, was not nearly the end of the insanity this week. There were protesters in Dearborn, Michigan. If you did not catch this clip, we've got it over on mrctv.org. This one, I mean, again, you've probably seen it on the internet. If you have an X account, Twitter account, whatever, Instagram, not sure how you would have missed it. This is a shocking clip that it's simultaneously shocking and at the same time not surprising. These are protesters in Dearborn, Michigan. This is a man in Dearborn, Michigan, leading a protest explaining why America is the problem, followed by chants in Arabic of death to America.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Death to America. Death to America.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go."
So these were protesters in Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan. These were pro-Palestinian, anti-America, anti-Israel nutbags, calling for the destruction of America from Michigan. I know that to hear the audio, you would think this was from Iran or Afghanistan or some other sandpit, backwards, uncivilized, barbaric garbage dump where, you know, they hate America and they hate Western civilization and they hate anybody with basic decency who doesn't, you know, shoot and rape and murder people and throw gays off buildings and set people on fire. But no, this was Dearborn, Michigan, right here in the good old US of A. And we've started to get these pockets in the United States, these hotbeds of domestic terrorism, these breeding grounds for radicals who absolutely hate this country. It's interesting because you may recall there was a Wall Street Journal piece, an opinion article written and published in the Wall Street Journal in early February of this year, naming Dearborn, Michigan, America's jihad capital. Because of the people who lived there, the culture that had cropped up there, this little enclave of America-hating people who were actually protesting against America, protesting against Israel, siding with Hamas terrorists who butchered and raped and murdered hundreds of Israelis in October, in a completely unprecedented massacre, the worst since the Holocaust. And the Wall Street Journal called out this city in Michigan, America's jihad capital, because of what was happening there. And you might recall the leftist outrage, not against what was happening in Dearborn, Michigan, but against the op-ed in the Wall Street Journal calling it out. The mayor of Dearborn, Michigan came out. This is ridiculous. This is insane. This is horrible. I mean, just absolute misinformation. Michigan Governor Whitmer came out against this op-ed. Even Joe Biden condemned, quote, anti-Arab hate in response to this opinion piece. And now we see protesters in where? Dearborn, Michigan. Not just saying we disagree with what America is doing, not just saying we disagree with how this is being handled. Anybody has the right to say, we don't think that this should be done in this way. I may vehemently disagree with you, but that's not what's happening here. You're screaming death to America. That is far different than saying, I disagree with the government's response to a specific situation. Death to America? There's only one way to interpret that. And what we've got is these little pockets in the United States of people who absolutely hate this country and who are willing to say it publicly on camera with no shame and no fear. And I'm not really sure why anybody is surprised by this at this point. I'm not sure what anybody thinks you're going to get when you import people en masse from countries that hate us. You do this under the guise of providing a safe haven for refugees, right? That's what we say. We're giving these people a safe haven. These are refugees from these war-torn countries coming here for a better life, but that's not what's happening. Really, what you're doing is you're opening up the borders to anybody who wants to come into this country, regardless of why they actually want to be here, regardless of whether they think America is a great nation and they want to come here for the opportunities that it offers and they want to assimilate into our culture and they want something better for their lives and their families and their future, or people who just want to come here to make a buck and they don't really give a rip about actually adopting our culture or becoming part of the fabric of this nation, or at worst, people coming here actively looking to do us harm, actively looking and seeking the destruction of this country. And the Biden administration doesn't care. There's no vetting of individuals who are coming across the border. We've seen in recent months and in the past couple of years, the violent criminals that are being allowed to come into this country and they wind up, you know, shooting people and slamming into cars and robbing houses and murdering and raping children. We're not supposed to pay attention to any of that. So you have people from all of these different countries all across the world, including many countries that abjectly despise America and call it the great Satan and openly call for its destruction. And then on top of importing people that we don't know who they are or where they're coming from or what their intentions are, right? We just let anybody come in because it's racist and xenophobic to say that maybe we should screen people coming into this country. Maybe we should take some and not take others, but we can't do that, right? And then on top of all of that, our institutions of higher learning and our education system in this country, if you can even still call it that, then openly indoctrinate people, particularly young adults, in hatred of this country. this might as well just be a course in every college across America at this point. Death to America 101. And it's not just our institutions of higher learning now. This is why those of us with half a brain and a little bit of patriotism still left, who understand that capitalism and liberty and freedom and human rights, you know, the foundational principles upon which this country was founded, and that have lifted more people out of poverty and despair than any other societal system in the history of planet Earth. This is why we push back so hard against critical race theory and DEI initiatives that the left is trying to weave into our educational system for kids as young as preschool. This is not just about colleges and universities anymore. This is about our entire education system. You see this abject hatred of America and Western civilization and the traditional norms of Western society being woven into the building blocks of what is being taught to children. These ideas that America is not exceptional, that capitalism and liberty and freedom and human rights and the basic foundational principles that this country was built on, however imperfectly they were executed, however flawed any nation on earth is going to be when it's made up of flawed people, the idea that these basic principles are somehow evil on their face. I mean, we're seeing insane claims like the idea that proper grammar and math are somehow racist. And that's cropping up in these leftist enclaves in these blue Democrat-controlled cities. The idea that education in and of itself, that expectations, that standards, that the traditional family, that a mom and a dad, that marriage, that somebody going out and building a business and making money and getting to keep what they earned and reaping the benefits of their success, all of these things are evil and oppressive and somehow need to be done away with. By the way, this is how you end up with people like Sheila Jackson Lee, who doesn't know that the moon isn't just a giant ball of gas in the sky. Children are being taught that America is this oppressive monster with its boot on the neck of the poor and the downtrodden and the oppressed. Never mind that we've got the most generous immigration system in the entire world, to the point where we're allowing horrible people to come here because we never turn anybody away. I mean, we literally have an immigration system that is so good and so open and makes so many allowances that we're doing it to our own detriment. Never mind that it has been the blood of Americans being spilt to liberate countries and people from evil and oppression almost since our inception. Younger generations are now being taught that America is evil. Western civilization is oppressive. All of the principles that we base our society on are somehow racist. It's systemic racism. That's the definition of systemic racism, right? But the system itself is oppressive. It is so rotten that the whole thing should just be scrapped and done away with, which is exactly what the left wants, because they want to rebuild society under a completely different set of principles that takes away personal freedom and liberty and, you know, success and all of the things that should be retained by the individual get handed over to the government, get handed over to the system, all the power and all of the control. But in order to do that, you must first convince a people that the whole thing needs to be burned to the ground to begin with. That's exactly what's being taught in our education systems. And then you import a bunch of people from cultures that hate this country. And then, you know, everybody feigns surprise when you end up with radicals in Michigan screaming death to America. Death to America might as well be the left's motto at this point. They should put it on bumper stickers and buttons and, you know, banners. It's not a secret. It's not a surprise. This is what they openly preach. America doesn't even deserve to exist in their book. And meanwhile, while millions of people are pouring across our border and we don't know who they are or what their intentions are or what harm they might do to us, you know, it's hard to believe that it's only been, you know, 23 years since 9/11, 19 terrorists who also believed in death to America slammed planes into buildings and killed thousands of innocent people. And we swore we'd never forget. How quickly we seem to have forgotten. Just over two decades later, and we have people openly screaming death to America in the streets. and the left barely bats an eyelash. And God knows how many more of these fools are coming into our country. And while protesters are on camera screaming for the destruction of America, you know, and these terroristic calls for violence in the middle of all of that, you're not supposed to pay attention to any of that. The White House has no comment. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre responding to reporters who are asking her, hey, does the White House have any concerns about these crazy people openly screaming for the destruction of America? Any comment at all seems like something we should be paying attention to, right? Seems like some cause for concern here. And here's Karine Jean-Pierre basically saying, no, we don't have anything to say.
A couple days ago in Dearborn, there were protesters chanting death to America and death to Israel. Does the president condemn that?
Yes.
Is the president at all concerned that Dearborn is facing a risk of becoming a hotbed of any sort of homegrown threats?
I don't have any intelligence to share with you on that. Obviously, that's something that we're always very vigilant about, but don't have any national intelligence to share with you.
No comment. Nothing to see. We don't have any intelligence on that. That might be the one true thing that she has ever said. They don't have any intelligence at all. Not a shred in the White House. Meanwhile, over on Univision, you know, President Joe Biden, who's got to be given a script on an index card because otherwise he has no idea how to answer a question or, you know, who the reporter is that he's talking to or the fact that he is, you know, the president of the United States. He's just looking for his lost pudding cup without somebody telling him, you know, Mr. President, you are the president, just reminding you and in case you've forgotten. And here's the questions that these people are going to ask you. And here's what you've got to say. Just smile and nod for the camera and say these words. And his handlers have to give him the script ahead of time, right? Because God forbid we have a president that can think on his feet and actually answer a question and know what's going on at any given moment. And so while protesters are in the streets chanting death to America, Biden's over there telling Univision that the people that we really need to be worried about in this country are all of these insane Second Amendment enthusiasts who actually believe that as Americans, we have the right to own firearms. The audacity, right? And in order to make this claim, he has to completely rewrite history because, again, at this point, it's kind of hard to tell whether Biden says dumb things because his brain is a puddle of oatmeal swishing around in his skull, or because this man has been a serial pathological liar for his entire career. Even back in the day when he was coherent and still had his wits about him and could form a sentence that was intelligible, might not have been intelligent, but intelligible. This is a man who's done nothing but lie his entire career. And here he is lying about gun rights, lying about the Second Amendment, and completely rewriting history because, again, the left does not care about facts or history when it comes to pushing their narrative. Here's Joe Biden on why Americans should not be allowed to own certain types of firearms that should be restricted to the government alone. Here's Biden.
From the very beginning, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't. You could own a rifle, a gun, but there were
weapons
certain things you couldn't. But they weren't weapons of war.
Which is just simply objectively false. Even before you get into the debate over whether or not Americans should be able to own certain rifles like the AR-15 or, you know, these so-called assault rifles that the left has never actually been able to consistently define that seem to encompass a whole host of firearms, depending on what ignorant hack you're talking to at any given moment. Before you even get into that debate, I did a whole entire podcast about a year ago about the AR-15 and the link between that particular rifle, which has come, no pun intended, under fire in recent years, the link between it and mass shootings in America and the prevalence of gun violence in America, and breaking down the actual data behind that whole entire claim. I did an entire podcast on that about a year ago. But before you even get to that debate, that conversation, it is objectively false that Americans were not allowed to own cannons under the Second Amendment and during the founding of this nation. Joe Biden has made this claim before, and it was not true then, and it isn't true now. In fact, it is so objectively untrue that it's almost laughable until you remember that these are words coming out of the mouth of the President of the United States. Not only were Americans allowed to own cannons during the founding of this country and following the implementation of the Second Amendment, many of them did own cannons. In fact, at the start of the Revolutionary War, One of the first things that happened, as you know, everybody was coming together and creating militias and creating the army that would take on the British, because remember, we didn't have a cohesive fighting force at the time. One had to be created. And one of the first things that they did was start going to private citizens who owned things like cannons, who owned things like gunboats, and a massive fighting force of people who already had their own private cache of weaponry. Anything and everything at the time that could have been considered a weapon of war, anything that was currently in existence at the time, could be found among the general populace. That is how the original army and militias were created. If it had been a whole bunch of unarmed people, there's no way that an army could have been created in the first place. It's part of the reason why one of the last things that the British tried to do was to seize colonists' weapons, which is exactly what you're seeing with the American government now. This insane notion that the Second Amendment somehow prohibits ordinary citizens from owning the same things that the military uses is ridiculous. The entire purpose of the Second Amendment was to make sure that the American people, the actual people, the citizens of the country, were never outmatched by their government. The idea was that if the government ever got too big for its britches and became a tyrannical force against the American people had the capacity and the resources to be able to rise up and take on the government for their own protection and their own defense. That was the entire point of the Second Amendment. It wasn't just so that you can go out in your backyard and hunt deer. It wasn't just so that you could defend your home against a burglar with a handgun. Although, of course, all of those things are good for someone to be able to do. Firearms have multiple uses, ranging from hobbies and sports all the way up to self-defense and protection. But those were not the original point of the Second Amendment alone. The Second Amendment was for the people to be able to defend themselves against a tyrannical government, which means it would have made no sense whatsoever for the founders to say, well, you know, you can own up to a certain point or up to a certain type of weaponry. And after that, only the government can own the big stuff, right? That would have defeated the entire purpose. So not only does Joe Biden either not understand or simply not care about the original intent of the Second Amendment, probably at this point, both, but not only that, he's also spewing objective falsehoods, objective lies about the history of the United States. It's simply untrue to say that Americans were prohibited from owning cannons under the Second Amendment. Many Americans owned cannons. As a matter of fact, many Americans owned bigger and more deadly equipment than cannons. And it was only because of that that they were able to take on the British in the first place. Otherwise, none of us would be sitting here even having this conversation because we would all be too busy worshiping the royal family and scarfing down bangers and mash. But never mind the terrorists in Michigan, or the fact that we've imported people who are openly calling for our death, right? Never mind that open border and God only knows who coming across and the next horrific attack that might take place on our soil because we seem to have completely forgotten the last one that we left ourselves open to. Never mind the actual threats to this nation, which are being spewed publicly into microphones on camera. It's those evil gun-loving conservatives clinging to their AR-15s. Those are the real threat, right? The left can't actually drum up any statistics that say that that's true. They can barely even point to examples of senseless gun violence to prove their point anymore because so many of the people doing the killing and the shooting and the murdering are unhinged, mentally ill leftists. So all of those incidents get swept under the rug. You know, when a crazy transgender person goes off their nut and shoots up a whole bunch of people or barges into a school with a rifle, we've got to ignore that post-hasty, right? So instead, Biden just sits there mumbling about how Americans couldn't own cannons back in the 1700s, and all of the lemmings are going to buy it. That's the problem, right? He is correct in that regard. You notice that at no point did Univision push back against any of his statements. In fact, the guy actually agreed with Biden. Oh, yeah, they couldn't own weapons of war. The claim that Americans could not own cannons under the Second Amendment has been made before by Biden himself in some cases and has been debunked repeatedly. This is not new. This isn't something that anybody should have had to pull out their phone and Google to figure out if it was true or not. This has been a repeatedly debunked lie. And yet you have the leftist media, the so-called fourth estate, right, that's supposed to speak truth to power, supposed to hold those in power accountable for their lies, these so-called journalists who are all concerned about fake news and making, you know, and calling out false statements when they think that Donald Trump said one. And there's Joe Biden making a complete lie about American history. And nobody bothers to say, well, you know, Mr. President, that's not actually true. Americans could own cannons under the Second Amendment, and in fact, many of them did. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever looks at Joe Biden and says, that's not true. That's blatantly false. That's factually inaccurate. That never happens. You notice that, right? Which is interesting because we also know through many, you know, many journalists just openly stating it, that these interviews are scripted. Biden gets the questions ahead of time, right? All of it, none of this is off the cuff. So you would think that the media would have ample opportunity to say, this isn't true. This is incorrect. But they're never going to do that. They're never going to do that against Biden. He can sit there and spew whatever falsehoods, whatever lies, whatever garbage he wants to. And the media is too busy trying to shove their nasal passages even farther up his rear end to bother correcting him. And millions of people, including younger generations who have spent all their time in school being taught about the inherent evils of white people instead of things like history and science, they're just going to buy it wholesale because they don't know any better. This is how a country gets more and more ignorant. The destruction of education in this country, the importing of people who want to see the destruction of this nation, who openly call for death to America, the election of politicians who will tell whatever lie it takes to push their narrative, a nation cannot survive under those conditions. It is not possible. And the fact that we have people openly calling for the violent destruction of this country, coupled with the fact that we've got a president that does not believe Americans have the inherent right to self-defense against a threat any bigger than a raccoon coming up on your deck, should be absolutely terrifying to anyone with a sense of self-preservation. And with that, that's the Brittany Hughes Show for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll be back with me next Thursday. In the meantime, head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button on the Brittany Hughes Show. That way you won't ever miss an episode. Also subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast with Tim Graham on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'll see you guys back here next Thursday. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and a blessed week ahead.